Welcome to the new podcast, The Disney Life Path. It's possible to live a life of your wildest dreams, but what does that require? In my path, I've seen it be three things. So we have gratitude, having a daily gratitude practice, faith, undenying belief in that anything is possible, and physical activity, kind of like the Girl Scouts. And my
Wow.
name is Melissa Ames, and I am the Rising Phoenix. This podcast is all about the kids at heart with big dreams that made them happen. Get ready to be inspired to love deeper, dream wilder, and live the life of awesome. I'm talking speaking on stages, flying to space, working at your dream company like Disney, living life with your lover by your side, traveling the world, and getting to meet the people that inspire you most. Feeling depressed, stressed, or miles away from that finish line? Wondering how you too can rise from the ashes? Good questions. Listen up because you're about to be blown away to your true Disney quantum leap. And how appropriate that you get to hear from our first guest who's living his Disney dreams in his life and in his career. Meet Saul Blinkoff, keynote speaker, Life of Awesome podcast host, animator of Pocahontas, Hollywood producer. We're talking Disney, Netflix, and DreamWorks. And happily married father of four. I'm Melissa Ames, and you're listening to the Disney Life Path. So, well,
Awesome.
yeah.
What a great intro. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
I
thank you so
love
much for
seeing you.
being
Love being
on.
with you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been so long since we've met, and we're finally doing something together. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. It's incredible. Yeah, and your background is so beautiful. It's amazing. Just the
Thank you.
trees and the sun, and it must be beautiful where you are.
Yeah, there's something about being in nature
Yeah.
that always gets me. So one of the things that I talk a lot about is that it's possible to live your Disney dreams, and for me, that's like living in nature. And there's a lot that goes behind it. Sometimes it's hard for me to exactly describe what it means to live your Disney dreams. So I was wondering, what does it mean to you to live your Disney dreams?
Wow. Okay. Well, that's great. So I've been asked before about living dreams, but never your Disney dreams. So I love that. So let's first talk for a minute about what is a Disney dream. So I guess for me, it really all comes back to Pinocchio and what I think is the mantra of Disney. It's when you wish upon a star, right? And if you look at the lyrics of that song, to me, it's really empowering. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. So the first thing that that song is telling all of us, it doesn't matter who you are. You might think that you're the person that grows up that doesn't have talent, or maybe you grew up in, financial poverty, or, there's someone else who's smarter or better looking. The first thing that that tells us in that song is it doesn't matter who you are. Guess what? It's going to be possible. There's nothing holding you back. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. Anything. There's nothing you can't accomplish. If your heart is in your dream, your heart is your emotion, your passion. If your heart is into it, Steve Jobs used to talk about that all the time with Apple. You got to put your heart into it. And the lyrics say, if your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. You can go for anything. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. Right. And there's a, that other line, no matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true, right? That's from Cinderella, right? So it's like, I think for me, the Disney dream first has to be like, what seems impossible? Walt Disney, by the way, he did seemingly what was impossible. He changed the world. And I think he inspires all of us to dream bigger. So for me, look, I grew up in New York. I was far from Disney. I didn't. I mean, I knew Disney growing up, but my first dream job was I wanted to be a director when I was 11 years old because I went to the movie E.T. That was what started it for me. I see the movie. I remember the credits are rolling. I tap my mom at the end of the movie and I'm like, Mom, that's what I want to do someday. I know. And she's like, wait, you want to leave planet Earth in a spaceship? And I'm like, no. I want to be a filmmaker. And that was my first dream. I wanted to be a director. Then I went to the library. I got books on cameras, lenses, storyboarding. I found out the director of ET, Steven Spielberg, would make movies on the weekends with kids in the neighborhood. So I got my twin sister, my older brother, kids in the neighborhood. I started making movies, murder movies, monster movies. I remember I made a kidnap movie. We tied my sister up to a tree really tight.
Oh, that's fun.
Afterwards, we go into the house to watch the movie, and I still remember my mom going, "I like the movie, but where's your sister?" I go, "She's still tied to the tree. What's wrong?" So, like, I knew, like, when I was in high school, I knew I was going to be a director. And I remember walking the halls of high school one day, and somebody comes up to me, like, "Saul, what are you going to do when you get out of high school?" I said, "Well, I'm going to be a filmmaker." They're like, "No, you don't want to do that because you're going to have to move out to Hollywood. And Hollywood is filled with strange, weird artist type. You don't want to end up like that, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." And I'm telling you, Melissa, right then and there, I gave up on that dream because one person told me I would end up a strange weirdo. And, you know, look, of course, today I do live in Hollywood and my four kids would tell you daddy is a weirdo. So much for that. But at that point in my life, I did give up on that dream. And even just saying it to you now in your audience, it's amazing to me how many times in our lives we do strike gold and we have clarity on something we want to accomplish. But unfortunately, we allow others to define how we feel about ourselves and change the trajectory, the path that we're on. So I gave up on that dream. That was it. My parents are like, "So what are you going to do?" I'm like, "Well, I'll go back to drawing." Because as a kid, I loved drawing. That was my pastime. That was my favorite thing to do. And I was going to be an artist. I had an art teacher that came to our home. My parents hired a private teacher for me. She was amazing. She would teach me to draw from life, bowls of fruit. She would send me to cafes and restaurants and say, "Bring your sketchbook everywhere you go. Drawing is about seeing, developing your eye to look at the world a certain way." And I would take all my drawings from cafes and show it to her. And she looked at them one day and she's like, "I like your drawings, but I noticed nobody has hands. Like, did they not have hands in the restaurant?" I'm like, "No, they did." She goes, "Well, why didn't you draw them?" I said, "Well, because drawing hands is difficult." She goes, "Oh, it's hard? Okay. Every night before you go to bed, I want you to draw your hand from a different position." And that is exactly what I did. And in 6 months, I got really good at drawing hands. And she taught me one of the most valuable lessons in life. And everyone listening right now, by the way, you can forget everything I've said up until now. If you walk away from this episode and you remember one thing, it's that this teacher taught me. It's a game changer for all aspects of life. She taught me have a singular mindset to turn your weakness into your strength. Incredible teacher. You know, so often we shy away from the things that we're not good at. Instead, we have to feel empowered to turn those weaknesses into our strength. So I was going to be an artist, and then I went to the movies and I saw another movie that changed my life. So I'll test your Disney knowledge, Melissa. I'm going to sing this song, see if you know, okay? "The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there." You know it. What is it?
It's
Boom.
the
Yeah. So I'm
Little
watching The Little Mermaid
Mermaid.
in the theater. I'm a junior in high school and I am mesmerized. Mesmerized by the animation, especially during the song Part of Your World. And she sings, Ariel sings the song. She wants to understand about life and she wants to understand about why people walk around on their legs and all this stuff. And she says this one lyric. She says, "What's a fire and why does it? What's the word?" What's the next word?
Burn,
Burn.
burn.
Yeah.
When's
And
it
when
my
you,
turn?
that's right. And when you watch it, the animation is so amazing. Glenn Keane, one of the greatest animators who ever lived, he animates Ariel, and on the word burn, she puts her arms across her chest, closes her eyes, and says the word burn. She pushes her heart to her chest, her arms to her chest, as if the fire is not up there that she wants to learn about. The fire is inside. That's the fire. You know, when you watch a movie, it's like, how do we relate to a character? Okay, how can I relate to a 14-year-old mermaid? You know why? Because she's just like me. She also wants to understand the world. Because the more we understand the world around us, the more we understand our place in the world. And that is primal. All of us feel that. And I was emotional watching that sequence. I turned to my mom and I'm like, "Mom, That's what I want to do. She's like, what? You want to fall in love with a fish? I'm like, no. I want to be a Disney animator. And that's when the dream for me was really set. That's when I knew exactly what I wanted to do and who I wanted to become.
Yeah, see, this is why I love Disney so much. I feel like when you go
Right?
to a movie, like I watched the documentaries about how long that you guys spend on each little detail, and it's so inspiring. I went to Moana when I was leaving a job and about to step into the unknown, and there she was singing about going beyond the horizon.
Right. It's
And
amazing. Right.
yeah.
It's
And I was just
primal.
like, just felt it all through me, like I'm gonna do this, like I'm gonna go for it. And
Right.
I've been, trying to go on this journey for 5 years, and I get my parents saying, it's been 5 years since you've been trying to do this and it's not happening. And I'm still like, no, I know that there's more beyond that line. Like, I know that this life is meant for me. So I totally relate to having people tell you, I don't know if it's really hard. There's a lot of people that want the same thing
Yeah.
as you, or it's gonna be difficult.
It's like that
But
scene in Pocahontas when she's in the canoe and there's the river goes into two. You remember? Remember the song What's Around the River Bend? And there's that river that's smooth and then there's the river that's rocky. And that's the one she chooses, you know? It's like Robert Frost has a poem and there's a line. He says, two roads diverged in a wood. And I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. It's so much easier for us if we see the footsteps have already been created for us. Imagine the snow. You know how hard it is to trudge in the snow and make those footsteps the first time if it's deep. But if someone's already made those footsteps for you, it's much easier. But then you're just following their path. You know, at the end of the day, the truth is every single one of us is unique. There are no two people that are the same, which means that every single one of us has a unique purpose. The world doesn't need another Walt Disney. It doesn't need another Glenn Keane or Steven Spielberg. It needs each of us to wake up with our own unique identity and our own unique purpose, which really means none of us are in competition with anyone else. At the end of the day, the only person that will ever get in our own way is us. You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I feel like in some ways I could have walked the smoother path, perhaps. I could have made a leap, but the way that I like to think about it is that there's like the ground, and you're going below the ground to try to find your tunnel to make it to the other side. And I've gone like here. But all of the little nuggets that you discover under the ground, you bring them back up to the earth, and then you gift them to other people that have tried to go on that path. That,
Beautiful.
my mom even tells me that, you don't know what you're going through, why you're going through it, but someday you're going to meet somebody who's going to need to hear the story of what you went through. So it, rather than, it's like changing the narrative rather than thinking, you've gone down so many wrong paths and you're bad. It's like, no, you've gone down so many beautiful paths that have led you to amazing things, and it's going to still lead you, as long as you continue on God's path, you're going to end up living your Disney dreams.
That's right. And by the way, that's how we learn. You know, failure is nothing short of, it's nothing less than the ability to learn. You know, when you're a kid and you have a round block and you're putting it in a square hole and it doesn't work, you just learn something. You know, I had a friend once, I set him up on a date. He comes back to me and he's like, that date was a waste of time. I'm like, why was it a waste of time? He's like, because she's not the one. And I said, but that doesn't mean it's a waste of time. He goes, what do you mean? She's not the one. I said, but don't you realize how lucky you are? You just got clarity who you're not supposed to be with. And you have clarity more on what you're looking for in a soulmate. How is that a waste of time? You got to sit and have dinner with a person that also has a divine spark within them to connect with humanity. It's never a waste of time. Life is never a waste of time. We always have opportunities to grow. And by the way, for me, after I saw The Little Mermaid and I was set, that's what I want to be as a Disney animator. I had a major problem. I had no idea how to do it. You know, so often in life we get clarity of something we want to accomplish, but we need to know how to accomplish it. Well, I didn't know how to do it. This is before the internet, as my kids like to say, the olden days, right? So I didn't, tell you want to be a Disney animator, you go to Google and you type in how do you become a Disney animator, you find out. But back then, no internet. So my mom took me to Disney World, just me, not my brother or sister. And she's walking me around Disney World asking the Disney cast members, that's what they call their employees, how her son could become a Disney animator. And we're getting on the, it's a small world boat ride, right? We're getting on the boat. And the Disney lady's like, how many in your party? And I'm like, two. And my mom's like, by the way, my son wants to be a Disney animator. Can you help him? It was very embarrassing. The lady's like, ma'am, this is a boat ride. Like, we don't hire animators here. So we go on the boat, we come back. And the woman's like, look, if you want your son to work at Disney, he's got to go to the Disney casting building. It was 4 minutes away from where we were in Disney World. So we go, can you imagine how beautiful and imaginative a Disney office building must look? It was beautiful. It looked like it was out of Alice in Wonderland. The doorknobs were made of brass, and they were the ones that talk out of Alice in Wonderland, like with the faces. I open up these doors. I walk into an atrium, gold statues of Mickey, Donald, Pluto, Goofy. Even the air in this lobby had a smell. I'll never forget. It was like magic, like pixie dust in the air. It was amazing. I sit there for the interview, and the woman says, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, my name is Saul, and my dream is to become a Disney animator. She goes, well, we don't hire those here. I said, well, who do you hire? She goes, well, we hire people that work the rides. People that make the rides go up and down, people that make the teacups spin around. That's who we hire. I'm like, that's not really my dream. She sees I'm discouraged. She goes, hold on a second. She walks out of her office, comes back in 2 minutes later, and hands me a piece of paper. That piece of paper became the most valuable piece of paper I have ever held in my hands. It was a list of eight schools, eight art schools that Disney recruits their artists from. And she looked at me and she said, if you want to be a Disney animator, you need to go to one of these schools. Boom. That was it. To me, that was an equation. And that's the equation all of us need to have in our lives. The equation for me was Saul plus go to one of these schools will equal dream. Everybody listening right now, whatever your goal is, if it's a dream job, a dream life, if you're in a marriage and you want your marriage to be more awesome, if you're raising your kids and you want the experience to be better for you, if you're in a job and you want it to be better, if you wanted whatever your health, whatever it is you want to aspire to, we need to know how to accomplish it. What's the recipe? That's what that piece of paper was. Because when we have the recipe, we can do it. We can accomplish anything. And so I ended up going to one of those art schools in Columbus, Ohio, the Columbus College of Art and Design. Amazing school. First day of school, I'm walking through the dorm. I see this one guy. I look into this one guy's room and I see a Mickey Mouse bedspread, Mickey Mouse slippers, Mickey Mouse lunchbox, Mickey Mouse clock, Disney World in a room, every poster. Like it was crazy. Then I see he's got sketchbooks. I'm like, the guy's not in the room. Let me see how good his drawings are. I'm looking through his sketchbook and I see he's got hundreds of drawings of Mickey Mouse from different positions and hands, but Mickey Mouse hands, like the four finger white glove. And I'm like, this guy is obviously Mickey Mouse crazy. I turn to leave the room and I bump into the guy whose room it is. Uh-oh, I'm busted. I look at him and I go, hey man, I'm sorry. And he looks up at me and goes, oh, how are you doing? I said, I'm good. What's your name? He says, my name's Jason, but people call me Mickey Mouse Jason. I'm like, they call you what? He goes, Mickey Mouse. I'm like, I heard you. You have a Disney nickname? He's like, what? You don't? I'm like, no, I don't. I go back to my dorm room. I get on the phone with my mom. And I'm like, mom, if I'm going to fit in art school, I need Mickey Mouse slippers. I need Disney stuff. I mean, I was surrounded by Disney nerds. It was crazy. And let me tell you, I felt intimidated. 1 week later, a representative from the Walt Disney Studios comes to our school. He's got to be over 70 years old, had a white beard, was one of the original animators from Sleeping Beauty. He knew personally Walt Disney himself. And this guy stands on the stage because he's going to give a presentation telling us what we need to do in order to get into Disney. And before he speaks to us, he's in the auditorium. Every freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior are there. Over 500 students were filled in that auditorium that day. I will never forget it. And he goes, before I tell you how to get into Disney, he looks out to all of us and he goes, let me just see, show of hands, how many of you want to be Disney animators? Every hand went up. But he goes, well, just so you know, it is very competitive. And out of the 500 of you with your hands up, maybe, just maybe, four of you will ever work there. That's how competitive it is. And when he said that, I remember thinking one thing. I wonder who the other three are going to be. Because in life, we either believe in ourselves that we can accomplish or we don't. And I mean deep down, not what we post on Facebook, not what we talk about, deep down, do I really believe that I can accomplish? Every single person, no matter where you're living, no matter how old you are, what nationality you are, every single person wakes up every single day with a voice. And that voice is telling us we can be great. We can achieve our dream life. We can change the world. That's the little shoulder angel. But then there's the other voice, the one that screams to us louder, much louder. Who do you think you are? That's not for you. You're average. That's for other people. That's for talented people. That's not for you. Go back to bed. And that, unfortunately, is usually the voice we listen to. We got to remember the other voice. We got to believe in ourselves. We were created with purpose. There's a creator that knows that each one of us has unlimited potential. The question is, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to wake up and believe that we can really have our dream life? Not just making a living, but making a life. Well, at that point in my life, I did believe in myself. Then the guy says, if you want to work at Disney, you got to get the internship. No internship, no Disney. And in order to do that, here's what you need. And I'm like, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat listening. He says, you need a portfolio filled with hundreds of drawings of humans and animals from life. You got to draw from life. No cartoon characters, he said. And especially, he goes, no drawings of Mickey Mouse. I was like, oh yeah, Mickey Mouse Jason. You see him like slouching his chair in the back, you know? He's like, oh boy, you know? But to me, that equation was big, beginning to grow. First, it was Saul, you need to go to one of these schools to get your Disney dream. Now, you need a portfolio filled with hundreds of drawings. So I did a lot of drawings, lots of drawings. And my sophomore year, I got my portfolio together, sent it into Disney, and I got rejected. Look, I didn't expect to get in the first time. I wanted to go through the process. As a matter of fact, I remember, I'll never forget, Melissa, I had an envelope that came in the mail from the Walt Disney Studios. It had a gold leaf Mickey embossed on the envelope, and my name was typed on the envelope. That was my rejection letter, but they knew I was alive because they had my name printed on an envelope. I took that rejection letter, put it up over my desk. Another year goes by, and I'm drawing all the time. And I met this amazing guy, became my best friend. His name was Andy, and he was by far one of the best artists in the school. He later went on to be an art director on the movie Moana, which you mentioned earlier. And Andy was just this awesome, awesome artist. It was amazing. And we would go draw all the time. We went to the zoo one day, bitter cold, freezing day, to draw elephants. I'll never forget it. The second we get to the zoo, we go into this little cafe with the other students, and everyone's getting hot drinks because it's bitter cold, freezing out there. And after a couple of minutes, Andy and I sharpen our pencils. We go out, we draw this elephant walking back and forth for like 45 minutes in the cold. Afterwards, I go on the bus. I'm showing Andy what I drew. He's showing me what he drew. And I said to one of the other guys and one of the girls, I'm like, hey, we never saw you guys at the elephants. What animals were you guys drawing? And this guy looks up to me and he goes, none of us ever left the cafe. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't leave the cafe? He goes, well, we couldn't leave. I'm like, what do you mean you couldn't leave? He goes, we couldn't leave. It was too cold. I go, it was too cold. Do you know those are the greatest words I ever heard in my life? I said, I will never forget that feeling. In that moment, I knew that someday I would become a Disney animator and I would outwork all the competition because I wasn't afraid of a little cold, of a little pain. You know, anybody listening right now, the first step is to know that you can accomplish anything. You got to have that dream. But once you have that clarity, it is imperative. It is so important to have the expectations that the road that you are now embarking on is going to be very difficult and painful. And you're going to have to work harder than you've ever worked. How bad do you want it? It goes for everything in life. You look at marriage. You look at people that are married, you think they have that dream marriage. You know why they have that dream marriage? Because they work at it. Now, some people listening are going to be like, yeah, but you shouldn't have to work that hard at marriage. Yeah, you do. Whatever you want to be great at, you're going to have to work hard. My son said it to me the other day. He's like, Dad, I want to be on the track team. Think it's going to be easy? I said, well, it depends how good you want to be. You want to be just average? Well, it'll probably be easy for you. Do you want to be really great? You're going to have to work hard. Do you want to be the greatest track runner that ever lived on planet Earth? You're going to have to bleed. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to show discipline. You're going to have to wake up every morning at 4 a.m. and run. Don't forget what the weather's like. Forget what you feel like. How bad do you want it? Put on a documentary about anybody that inspires you. You know what they all have in common? They go through pain. But the truth is, when you have the mindset that something is going to be difficult, it motivates us and energizes us to accomplish. And at the end of that, we don't need to go through pain. That's right. We don't need to go through pain. We get to grow through pain. If we're going to grow in life, we got to exert ourselves. And by the way, take a moment right now. Think about the moments in your life or the places in your life where you're not exerting yourself. I promise you, in those places, you are not as successful as you could be. Well, Andy and I got our portfolios together and we sent them into Disney, and boom, Andy gets in on the internship and I get rejected second time. Now it's a little different though, because my best friend is going. He's going to Disney. What do they call Disney, Melissa? The happiest place on
Earth.
Earth. Yeah. Like whoever came up with that, so smart, right? They're basically telling all of us you could be living in Yosemite or California or Hawaii. You could be happy, but you can't be happiest. Only those people can be in Disney World. And Andy's going to sunny, beautiful Disney World, happiest place on Earth. I'm going back to Ohio in the wintertime. What I felt was the most depressing place on earth, bitter cold, gray skies. And then I will get back to school and I'm walking the halls and people come up to me like, hey, where's Andy? I'm like, he got in. They're like, what do you do? Oh, you didn't get in. Everyone looked at me like I was a failure. I became known as the guy that was friends with the guy that got into Disney. I became known as the guy that didn't get what he really, really wanted. And I felt like a loser. It was a very hard time for me. And then I came up with a brilliant way to take that feeling of being a failure away. And for everyone listening, you could forget everything I've said up until now. Want to walk out of here with one thing? Remember this. If in your life you ever fail, and we will fail because that's what it means to be a human being, that's how you learn. But if you ever fail and you feel like a failure and you let it consume you and you don't like how you feel, do what I did and the feeling will go away like that. You know what I did? I gave up. I gave up on the entire dream. Instead of being the person that doesn't get what he really, really wants, I took away the want. And I had one of the most depressing weeks of my life. I woke up every day with no fire, no burn, no believing in myself. I was going to be an average artist. I gave up on it because reality set in. Reality was Andy was awesome and talented and amazing, and I was just average. Who did I think I was to go for that? I gave up. And then I went to a third movie that changed the rest of my life. I went to see a movie about a guy, it's a true story, about a guy who's 5 feet tall. He doesn't have an ounce of athletic ability, and he wants to play football at Notre Dame. What movie?
Rudy.
Yeah, you know it. You know your stuff.
Yeah.
How great is
Yeah.
that movie?
So great. Yeah.
So great, right? So I go see the movie Rudy, and it's a true story. The guy's not, he's 5 feet tall. He's not even athletic. If you were friends with the real Rudy Rudiger and he told you his dream was to play football at Notre Dame, you know what you would have told him as his friend? Dude, I love you. Get a new dream. Rudy was, yeah, well, we'll just see about that. And he tries to get into Notre Dame, and what happens? Rejected. Tries a second time, rejected. Third time, rejected. But fourth time, if you look at the movie poster for the movie Rudy, it says on the poster, when people tell you dreams don't come true, tell them about Rudy. He gets in, and tears are streaming down my face because I'm thinking one thing. If an unathletic kid like that could get into Notre Dame with an insane amount of hard work and tenacity, then what I felt was an untalented artist like me would get into Disney with an insane amount of hard work and tenacity. And I vowed to never give up again. I worked on my portfolio more. I even called the head of Disney up. I got him on the phone. I said, "Tell me what I need to work on." See, when we fail, we need to find out why. Because if you find out why, that is the answer key to growing. And he said, "You need to learn more of this and more perspective in your portfolio." And so I started doing those things that he told me. I got my portfolio together. I sent it into Disney a couple months later, and boom. When you wish upon a star, I got in. I got on the internship. I started working on the movie Pocahontas, eventually Hunchback, Mulan, Tarzan, became a director, Winnie the Pooh, Doc McStuffins, Kronk's New Groove, and so much more. And I get to live my dream every day. And I want to just share with you one message. I don't want anyone listening to this to think that you heard a story today about a really talented artist that got his dream. That's not what this is. This is a story of the worst artist in his school who got his dream. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, wakes up great at anything. If you want to be great at something, and we all want to be great at life, you're not just going to wake up and be great. We have to aspire to put in the work, never doubt ourselves, and continue to grow.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing. This
Right?
is so, and it reminds me of whenever it's so true because I worked for Taco Bell corporate. And when I
Yeah.
went into that interview, I felt like I had got it. I was like, oh my gosh, this job is mine. I walked away and then I got the rejection notice in my email inbox the next day. Like, sorry to inform you, but we decided to go with someone else. But then I still had the belief that it was possible. I didn't know
Yeah.
how. I kind of forgot about it. And it was like 3 months later, she, no, I did the, you did. I contacted, I had my pity moment where I was like, oh, I've lost
Right.
the job. This is the
Right.
job that I thought I was going to get. And I like got my courage back up. I sent her an email and I was like, what could I have done better? What went wrong during the interview? What could I improve on as I go forward to apply
Good.
for other jobs?
Wow.
And so she replies back to me and she's like, well, you seemed a little bit reserved. You seemed a little bit shy. You kind of held back a little bit and didn't show me your full personality. So I go, okay, all right. So I know that I have some work to do. And then 2 or 3 months later, she contacted me and was like, we want you to come in for 1 week. And I was like, whoa, first of all, how cool is that? But
Wow.
also, like, what happened? Like, why would she only want me for 1 week? And I was like, maybe the girl that she picked is on vacation. But something in me said, I'm gonna blow their minds. I'm gonna just go all out. And she's like, do you have a computer? And I didn't have a Mac at the time. And I figured you needed a Mac to work at this art place. And it
Yeah.
was doing video production. And that's what we had in school was Macs. So
Wow.
I barely had any money, but I went out and bought a brand new Mac. I bought a brand new car because I also my transportation wasn't that great, and so I was
Wow.
stretching it to the extreme limits. Like if I didn't get this job, I would not have been able to pay for those car payments.
Oh my
But
gosh.
I had my family helping me at the time. I had my boyfriend helping me, so I was like, "But I
Incredible.
just knew. I just knew I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna get this job." And so I asked her, "What are we working on? Like, what are some things that I can do to prepare for the week?" And she like gave me this thing. So I went to through my knowledge and I got this production notebook. And I like had like different like sections in it. And I had it all. I printed everything that she gave me out like multiple times so that I could hand it out to people. And
Wow.
like I just came in like totally prepared with my new car, my new laptop. And my whole
Incredible.
clutching my binder full of things. And I did. It turns out that the girl that they picked was too outward, and she was like doing things like, I got hired, like in front of the CEO's office. And look at my money. And
Not
so they
so
were like, oh
professional.
man,
Yeah.
this girl is Yeah, unprofessional. And so I came in super professional, and that's just what they wanted. They were
Wow.
testing me out. They didn't want to say that I was hired because of what happened with the other girl. So they were giving me a chance, and I blew them away. I ended up working there for 3 years, and it led to me running my first half marathon using their gym and the training program that they had. And that completely transformed my life. Like, running my first half marathon was the biggest thing that I ever did in my entire life, because it was one of those moments where also it happened where I was about to lose my job because I was depressed because I had broken up with my boyfriend. I wasn't advancing. I didn't feel like I had any talent anymore because I kept bringing my ideas to them. I was like, why don't we do this Live Moss journey where we go around and we take people on their bucket list dreams? And I was like
Wow.
so enthused about it, and it seemed like it might happen, and then it didn't happen. They're like, the CEO said, no, that's out of our budget. We can't do that. That's too outside of the box. And so I was depressed and I was losing it. And so in that moment, I said, I was in the post office of all places, and I found a book on the law of attraction, on gratitude of all things. And it was a 30-day practice of gratitude, and something in it spoke to me. And I said, I
Wow.
have to do this. So I started on that journey that day. And that's one of my secrets, is that you have to take action immediately, like right away, whenever you feel that little like
Right.
burst, when you watch that movie like Rudy, and you're like, oh
Yeah.
my gosh, you have to go take action on it before that feeling goes away. So I
Beautiful.
did. Yeah. And I started training for my first half. And that led to me getting to work with a director in the entertainment business, having just met him, at this event. And it was just like total destiny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What a story. You know, you said the word something being possible. I love that you said that word. And it reminds me, I don't remember where I heard it from, but someone once said, just because something isn't probable doesn't mean it's not possible. Right? It's not probable that everyone's going to get their dream, but it doesn't mean it's not possible that you can get your dream. You know, the question is, where do we see ourselves fitting in with those possibilities? To wake up and go, it's actually possible. It is possible to achieve something. That's motivation. And you also gave a great tool about just jumping in right away when you have the energy and taking that energy and doing something. I think the word is alacrity. It's when you just do it, because otherwise that feeling will dissipate. It'll go away. You'll lose the momentum, and you won't go to the gym. You won't work on what you need to work on, right? When you said you ran a half marathon, how far is that?
That's 13.1 miles.
Wow, that's incredible. You're amazing. Well, you inspired me, that's for sure. That's
Thank you. Yeah, and
wonderful.
I want to get to the fitness. I have a question for you about that.
Tell
But
me. Yeah.
first, I wanted to just to recap, because I to live your Disney dream, which is the question we began with, it sounds like you need three things based on your story.
You have to have that clarity on what your goal is, you
And
know?
you have to turn your weaknesses into your strengths,
Boom,
and
that's it.
you have to work hard, even though some other people may tell you, like, don't go down the easier path. Sometimes you have to pick yourself back up. You have to, when you're training for a half marathon, you have to do hard things. You have to exert yourself. You have to,
Right.
it's not going to be easy to get yourself out of the door, but you have to get yourself to do it. You have to build up momentum. And then number two is you have to tell people about your dreams. You have to, like, your mom, and my mom did the same thing, actually. She told the director that I ended up working for, you know, my daughter's in the industry too. And I was like, Mom, like, I work at Taco Bell Corporate doing videos about tacos. Like, that's not really the industry, but
I love it. I love your mom. I think our moms would get along.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, come on, come on. And then number three is, what was number three?
Well, you got
Oh,
up.
you have to have undeniable. What would you say number three?
Well, I was gonna say back to number two, you have to really push through that pain, like you were saying.
A push through.
And then number three is
Yeah,
what?
yeah.
Undeniable, what you were saying.
Belief, undeniable
Yeah.
faith and belief in
Yeah.
that it can happen.
Right. Never lose that. Because
Yeah.
most people that I meet through my life who they hear my story, like, Saul, I'm so inspired by your story, but I didn't go for my dream. And I'm like, why? And they go, because it was too hard or too competitive. So I said, so work harder. They just felt that it was impossible, and it's such a tragedy. And by the way, the dream is not just to work at Disney. That's just a job. The dream for all of us has to be, no matter where I am, I'm working, no matter what my job is, it's how do I take my abilities and my passions and utilize them in order to take responsibility for the world? How do I contribute to humanity through the experiences of my life and things that inspire me or that I'm passionate about? It's like the movie Lion King. The movie Lion King is all about Simba learning what being a king is. You can't just live in Hakuna Matata world. Hakuna Matata, right? What does Hakuna Matata mean? No worries. You can't have a life of no worries. Life is, you're going to worry. You're going to have to go through pain. You're going to have to work every day of life. It's going to be some mental anguish. That's what life is. But guess what? When you focus that in, you realize that you can take responsibility for the world, contribute to humanity. What could be more meaningful than that? And at the end of the day, that's what we should all be going for. Don't go for a life of happiness. A life of happiness is usually contingent on outside things. If I meet my soulmate, I'll be happy. If I get more zeros in my bank account, I'll be happy. Go for a life that's so much sweeter than a life of happiness, because happiness is usually what am I getting that makes me happy. Sweeter than that is going for a life of meaning. What do I give to humanity? You know, Winston Churchill had a beautiful quote. He said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And ultimately, when we do that, we don't just have a dream job, we have a dream life. And that life isn't good. That life isn't great. That's a life of awesome.
All right. Are you ready for my fitness question
Yeah,
now?
let's do it. I love it.
I was excited to find out that you worked on Mulan,
Yeah.
because when I was a little girl, I would always sing the "Look at me, you may think you see who I really am," and that was so impactful because it was about a girl that was, not really being truly seen for who she was. She had all of these dreams, but her society was telling her, that's
Beautiful.
not possible. And that's who I was when I was a little girl. I had a plan for the school to do a recycling program because I wanted to save the rainforests, and later ended up going to the rainforest, and that was one of the most magical times of my life.
Wow.
Spending time there and actually seeing something that I had seen as a little girl. But back then, I felt a lot like Mulan. Like, nobody sees who I really am, and if I
Right.
really was who I wanted to be, like, that my parents wouldn't be proud of me.
Right.
And so then she goes on this journey, and her journey is full of physical agility and fitness. She's one of the top, I think, Disney princesses that has that in her life. And Disney is really famous for the training montages, like in Raya and the Last Dragon, and those are some of my favorite moments because it shows on screen kind of what you're talking about how you might fail, but you pick yourself back up, you try again, you really go after it. And I especially love, I've always loved, because of my journey of running the half marathons, the physical fitness part of it, and how that contributes to following your dreams. So I was wondering, you look fit, you look like you go on adventures with your kids and everything. Has
Yeah.
fitness played a role in your life, or do you even think that it's a part of achieving your dreams?
Absolutely. I love that you said that. First of all, I love that you said that I look fit because I am working out like a lot over the last, I started like a year ago. I have a very regimented training. You know, I do arms this day, chest this day, and it's changed my whole life, my energy levels. It's incredible what it's done for me. Really one of the greatest things. And by the way, in Mulan, I worked on that montage. I did a lot. I worked on Shang, is who I drew most of in the movie for Let's Get Down to
Oh
Business.
my gosh,
To defeat
yes.
the Huns, right? So I worked a lot on that. But Mulan specifically, I worked on the scene when she's climbing the pole with those weights. Remember, she's pulling herself up.
Yes.
At the very top of the pole, she has the sweat going on it. So I did a lot of those drawings in that scene. But yeah, fitness is a really big deal for me. I love being outdoors. I love being with my wife and kids outdoors, working out. And you know, I tell people all the time, no matter how old you are, what your shape is, like do a power walk, 2 miles a day, somewhere. It takes 30 minutes, power walk, 2 miles, depending on your leg size. You know, do something to exert yourself, but it's such good oxygen for your heart and your body, and especially your mind. You know, when I take my power walks or like my runs, I bring my music, I put on my soundtrack from Mulan, it inspires me, you know, or Hans Zimmer's soundtrack from Lion King or Gladiator, which is one of my favorite soundtracks. And yeah, health and working out is it's really important to me. Thanks for asking that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, you
What are
look
some of
fit
your
too.
go-to
You
thoughts?
work out, yeah.
And I'm getting back into it again. It's crazy because I burnt myself out. I ran 13 half marathons in a year, and then I went to 7 countries in a month, and I was interviewing runners, and I was running 5Ks through their towns, and that was the most exhilarating time of my
Right.
entire life, you know,
Amazing.
when I was able to do that. And people thought I was crazy, you know, they're like, you're gonna go like on this crazy trip. First of all, you're gonna go to 7 countries in a month, and now you're gonna run a 5K, like 3 miles through each city. And I was on
Amazing.
fire for life back then.
Amazing.
I really had it. And then my mistake was I ran a marathon and I only trained 2 months because I was like, ah, I've been running these half marathons. I'll be fine, but you need at least 3 to 6 months, I think, to train for a marathon properly. So, and I was always running for other people, you know, which was great and it was my
Right.
motivator. But at that point, I ran a half marathon after the marathon, like 2 weeks after, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I
No,
can't make
right.
videos for other people. I need to run a race just for me. And I did get to run one, which was a romantic like weekend, and I think I had touched on it last time we had met, and you were like, "See, look what God brought into your life.
I
Like
love it.
love will come back to you."
I love it.
And that was this guy invited me out to this race. I think he knew how to win my heart. It was a half marathon, so it was doing what I love and I hadn't done in a long time. And then it was on top of that, it was for charity. It was we were pushing a wheelchair the whole time. So this guy got to cross the
Wow.
finish line because of us. And it was
Amazing.
just the most exhilarating like finish line that I've ever had, you know, like just in tears, you know, because we had taken turns pushing this guy across the finish line and playing with him, getting people to hug him, like it was
Wow.
just a really,
What
really
a
amazing time.
beautiful experience.
Yes. And I got to meet the guy, the dad of the guy that had created this race. And
Incredible. Incredible.
yeah, so I'm waiting for more beautiful moments like that in my life. But it's crazy that you mentioned, you know, fitness for me. You know, you're really inspiring me, just, and I hope that we're inspiring the people that are listening now to get out and go for it, and not only on their dreams but also on their physical activity.
Beautiful.
Because I'm wanting to start my coaching program again, but I think in order to do that, I'm going to have to work hard, like you said. And I'm here in nature now, so I'm planning to start going on walks and runs
Wow.
again, and just taking it slow because I have to start from the beginning again because it's been so long since I've, you know, done that. So it's even harder for me now because I know what I'm capable of,
Yeah.
but then having to start from the beginning again is so much harder. I don't know if you've
Wow.
ever experienced that in
Oh,
your
yeah.
life, but it,
Sure. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Do you believe in destiny and how do you stay on God's path?
Yeah, I definitely believe in destiny in the sense that all of us have a purpose and that the creator of the world is our greatest champion, encouraging us. You know, it's a lot of us lose confidence and we feel confidence when we find those that we surround ourselves with that believe in us. You know, if you're a person listening and you have the love of your life, so you know that's your champion, that's your coach in your corner. But maybe you don't have that. Maybe you're alone, or maybe you're divorced and you haven't found your soulmate and you feel alone. At the end of the day, none of us are alone. There's a great song in the show Dear Evan Hansen about, you know, called You Are Not Alone. And everyone should listen to that song. It's so powerful and beautiful. that we're never really alone. And that's because the creator of the world is always our greatest champion. And because of his love and his encouragement in us, how could we ever feel alone? You know, relationships are defined by their weakest link, right? If I want to talk to my mom once a week and she wants to talk to me every day, I'm going to talk to her once a week because I define the relationship because I'm the weakest link. I'm the one that it's investing the least amount in that relationship. So that defines where the relationship settles. When it comes to the creator of the world, we are always the weakest link. He always wants to be closer to us and champion us and talk with us and be with us in those moments of pain and strife and joy. So for me, I do believe in destiny, and I believe that there's nothing we can't accomplish because we have the greatest champion in the world, the creator of the world. And the fact that we have life means that we can accomplish. The definition of cruelty is asking someone to accomplish something that they can't accomplish. The fact that we're alive means that we can accomplish greatness. Right?
Yes. I think that's a great note to end it out on. And then tell us about The Edge. This is a new program that you have going on, and it sounds amazing.
Oh, you're amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Well, first of all, you're so sweet. You can check out everything I'm doing at Saul Blinkoff, Saul Blinkoff.com. You can sign up for my emails. They're like once every couple weeks. There's something inspiring or something delivers right to your inbox. So sign up for the mailing list. And I have different programs that I run. I have one called The Edge, which is October 13th, this Sunday. And there'll be more programs to follow. And you can also follow me on Instagram at saul.blinkoff, also on TikTok. But check out the Instagram. There's a lot of fun posts there. I have videos of my family and inspirational quotes and things I'm doing as a speaker. I travel the world speaking for corporations and doing keynotes for companies. So I get to, you know, take those video clips and share lots of little fun moments of life. And I love to connect with people out there. So if you want to DM me and you're listening out there, you know, I love to connect and stay in touch. And Melissa, thank you so much for having me. You're amazing. You inspire me. And I also want to just tell all your listeners, all of you who are listening, you should take a lot of pleasure the fact that you show up to Melissa's podcast. Because out of all the things that are taking our attention, TV shows and all these things that want our attention, the fact that you show up to a podcast like hers means you're already willing to drown out the noise and find some clarity and hopefully wisdom to live by. So thank you to all the guests. And of course, Melissa, thank you. Can't wait to see you again in person.
Yes, you too. Oh my gosh. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your wisdom. I always love hearing your story. It was so inspirational the first time I heard it. So I can't wait to hear from the people that are listening to your story for the first time, or getting little nuggets of wisdom if this is a second time they're listening.
Thank you so much. All right, we'll talk soon. Okay, bye.